Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTH and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTH.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Truth Wanted. I am your host tonight, Objectively Dan, and this is the live call-in show that happens every single week, Fridays at 7 p.m. Central Time. We talk to people about what they believe and why. So if you'd like to call us, you can do that at 512-991-9242, or you can call through your computer at tiny.cc/callTW. Truth Wanted is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the promotion of atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government. And every single week, we always try to have a special guest with us. This week is no different. It's Jordan from the Reason to Doubt show. Jordan, welcome to Truth Wanted.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on. That's, you know, we put some bow ties in the intro tonight, Jordan, because you are a fan of wearing the bow ties on your show, and you wore one tonight, which is good. Very happy about that. Personal branding, I like it.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to make sure that my dress is up to the standard that
right.
The show's known
You can
for.
Tell we're very particular about dress on yeah. this show. It's something we talk about all the time, so I'm glad you brought it up. But yeah, Jordan, what is the Reason to Doubt program you got?
So I run that channel with a friend of mine, Jared, who's a former theologian, and we're both atheists. But before we're atheists, we're skeptics. And so while we do focus a lot on atheism on the channel, we try to just promote good skepticism. So our goal is to talk about claims and why people believe them and the evidence behind it in the effort to just to promote good critical thinking and skepticism.
Yeah. And I said show, but it is the name of the channel. You guys actually do kind of different things on the channel. What is it that you mostly focus on?
Well, I'd say lately we've been mostly focusing on theistic claims. So we've been talking or claims related to religion in some way. So we've done some claims on the problem of evil and whether that is a good argument against the existence of God. We've talked to several mythicists lately. David Fitzgerald is one of them. Also we're planning on doing a debunking of the Shroud of Turin coming up soon.
So. Yeah, that's always a fun one to talk about. Folks, this time I'm going to try, you know, we always ask a poll during the show, and I never really bring it up during the show. It's just kind of something that we put out there to kind of get engagement for you guys. And this time I'm thinking, and Jordan, you'll have to remind me here, by the end of the show today, we'll maybe see the results from the poll and see what people think. Because today's question is Jesus real or not? That's the question. Like, was Jesus a real person? I believe is the actual poll question there. So if you guys want to talk about that and call in, we'd be happy to talk to you about that. But this is Truth Wanted. We'll pretty much talk about anything on this show, honestly. So we're happy to talk to you guys again. We have some open lines right now. And we'd love to do that. So, Jordan, you've been exploring that topic in particular. I mean, like, you know, we were talking just a little bit about it before the show, but you're not convinced of the mythicist position, right?
That's correct. I think that Jesus likely existed as a real historical person.
So for clarity's sake, I am of agreeance with that. I've had the opportunity. I've personally been able to talk to Richard Carrier, who is kind of like the figurehead. A lot of people consider the figurehead on the subject. I've had correspondence, i.e. one email with David Fitzgerald one time because I asked him a question. But I've explored the position. And I'm of agreeance with you. It seems that there probably was a guy named Jesus, and a lot of stories were written about him, most of which probably aren't true or aren't accurate, but it seems to be that there was a figure. Now, I don't feel the same way about other biblical characters like Moses, for example. Maybe it was based off somebody, but I'm less clear on that. So, like, what's your case you think why Jesus was a real person, because I have my thought.
Well, I think that it's the most parsimonious explanation for the evidence that we have. There are people whose writings we have who either knew of Jesus in the case of Josephus, or people who are like two steps away. So Paul claims to have met Jesus's brother, and it's hard to have a brother if he didn't exist, you know? And the claim of Jesus existing is not a big claim. It's at its core, like, I'm an atheist. I'm not saying that he like walked on water and, you know, fed the 5,000. I'm saying that there was a Jewish rabbi who preached in Jerusalem. His message got him in trouble with the Romans and he got crucified. That's not a particularly crazy claim.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, right? If you believe that, like Peter, for example, like First Peter is a real, which, you know, Second Peter is often debated. I don't know if First Peter is the same way, maybe, but like, you know, if we have documents from people who allegedly knew of a guy named Jesus, that seems more likely that he's real. I mean, Paul's kind of a weird case because he had a vision of Jesus, but I mean, it seems that it is most parsimonious that he met people who also knew Jesus in some way. Now, what the interesting thing about the mythicist position, though, is that they think that other disciples knew Jesus in the same way that Paul knew Jesus. In other words, it was the result of spiritual experiences rather than a real person that they were walking around with. And that kind of got mythologized into, you know, these stories about a real person walking around. I think that is an incredibly interesting interpretation of the Gospels and also of the letters, because the picture that Paul kind of paints in the New Testament seems to be kind of different from the Gospels in particular ways. But I'm still not convinced. I don't know. I think it's probably a question we'll never know for sure. But I think the evidence weighs in favor of Jesus. So that's kind of my take on it, Jordan.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree for sure. And I think I'm not a historian. I can't read any of the original sources. And so I feel it's as a good skeptic, I need to rely on the expertise of those who are experts in it. And so there's a reason beyond simple religious persuasion that virtually every historian in the field is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that doesn't mean, again, that when we say, oh, we think he's a real person, that means he rose from the dead, he did any miracles, all this and that. I think that's what people conflate about it. It's just like, no, there are stories about people alive to like look at what people say about Donald Trump. Like, they think that he's done these crazy, amazing things, if you believe the QAnon people. And he's still alive. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean anything. I don't know. Like, just because people tell stories about somebody doesn't mean that what those things actually happened. It's just, you know, it's just a result of circumstance. Yeah.
If you want to look at it happening in real time, Haile Selassie of the Rastafarian movement.
Yeah.
He was praised as a deity by these people while he was alive and actively telling them, I'm not a god. And so if stories like that can come in the modern times, when we have the record keeping ability we have and the person himself saying, do not worship me, if that can happen now, it could certainly happen.
100%. 100%. There is one that reminds me of an apologetics argument I've heard one time, which is this idea that the gospel accounts were not far enough away from the time of Jesus's death to be considered legend. Have you heard this?
I have heard that. Yes.
Yeah. It's this idea that, oh, wait, it's too close. 40 years is too close. And again, I go back to the Q thing. Like, there's legends of Donald Trump in the Q and the, you know, everybody that works with him of doing great heroic things that just aren't true. So I don't know. 40 years is an even longer amount of time to be removed from an event, right?
Yeah. 40 years is plenty of time for rumors to go. I mean, just go through any, go through Reddit, go through 4chan, go through any post like that. And you're going to find a great example that Apologia brings up a lot is the recent election. About, what is it, 30% of the country thinks that the election was complete nonsense and completely
corrupt? I think it's even more than that. I think, I think it's a little, actually, I've read different things, but it's at least 30%, which is a lot. That's like, that's millions of people.
Right. And you know? So whether it was or not, millions of people are wrong about an event that happened that they watched happen.
Right. You know? Exactly. And what we're talking about here, when we're talking about 40 years, for those who aren't familiar, is that according to mainstream biblical scholarship, the Gospel of Mark, which is the closest gospel that was written towards the time of Jesus' death, at earliest is about 40 years after Jesus' death, somewhere around 70 AD, right? Assuming Jesus died around 30 AD. So that's what we're talking about when we mention that. And that's the closest account. You know, everything else gets even farther away, which is really interesting. You know, when you look at the history of that. But again, that's all stuff I didn't know when I was a Christian, because I don't know, nobody really talked to me about that. Were you ever a Christian, Jordan? Did you ever have?
I was. Not only was I a Christian, I was a young earth creationist. I believe the earth was 6,000 years old and everything.
Nice.
But it
so
is.
How long? Yeah, go ahead.
It is interesting, like you said, that I know way more about the Bible now than I did when I thought it was the literal spoken word of God handed to me from heaven, which is kind of weird.
Think about it. Well, you know, maybe there's some churches that are like this. I presume more like progressive churches that, as I've heard from people that like have classes on the historicity of the Bible, but I never had a class in Sunday school or whatever that talked about like the actual age of these books or what scholars have to say about it. It was always just I forget the word for it, but you know, it's just it's about messages, right? It's about what we're supposed to get from it, which is great. But it's like, you know, the source kind of matters, right? Especially when you consider the over 200 apocryphal books that talk about Jesus or talk about you know, Judaism in one way or another that aren't in the biblical account. You kind of have to wonder, okay, what makes these books so much different from these other books? And I don't know, but I didn't know about that stuff either.
And even if you completely dismiss all those apocryphal gospels and you buy into the fact that these are reliable, I mean, if this is truly the message that God is using to communicate to us, wouldn't you want to know everything you could know about it?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're in agreement there. You know, a lot of stuff that we didn't know as Christians. You were young earth creationist though, which is, that's Christianity plus to me. That's like, you know, I grew up not as highfalutin as a Christian. I was like a mix of a Methodist, Baptist. I kind of talked about this in the show before, but like I still believed in evolution. I still believed in like science broadly. And I feel like there's a whole other camp where it's like these more conservative circles just have this completely different culture, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it was, I was, I don't know if you'd call me a fundamentalist, probably, I guess, since I believed in the strict interpretation of the Bible. But from where I was raised, if you didn't believe the Bible was 100% true, then you weren't a Christian.
Yeah.
Like, it was very exclusionary and a huge emphasis on if any bit of it is wrong, then you throw the whole thing out. Right.
And when you say true, you mean literally true, right?
Literally true. Yeah. Like, if you went back in time with a video camera, you could record it.
Yeah.
True.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which wasn't the tradition that I grew up with. Part of my life. I think part of my life, it was definitely more okay to understand some of these stories as stories, but it was never, there was always the question of, okay, which one's legit then and which one's like just a story? Because the Bible definitely attempts to account for historical events, right? Like, I mean, my first example I always go to this is the book of Matthew, which actually has a genealogy of Jesus that goes back to Adam. Now, I've heard people say, oh, this is just a symbolic genealogy, which I don't know what the fuck a symbolic genealogy means, but
it's one that's,
you
not
know,
correct.
I guess that's like, oh, this is a symbolic, you know, W-2 form or a symbolic tax document. Like, what does that mean? Like, genealogy is supposed to get your family history there. But anyway, so, you know, like, there are supposed to be literal events recorded in the Bible. I don't think anybody would dispute that. Like,
it definitely, you know, purports
or
to record
attempts
at least
to, right, yeah,
some literal events.
Right.
And
right.
And the question is always, like you said, even if you don't believe that every single event is literal, well, which ones? Like, which ones are allegorical?
Right.
And that's a complicated question. Typically, it's the ones that would be more convenient for your world.
Yeah, exactly. That's for progressive Christians to figure out, right? not me. Not here, not now. You know, I don't really have to think about that. But hey, folks, again, this is a live call-in show. We still got some open lines, but we'll probably get to what we've got here in a second. One thing I wanted to talk about with you today, Jordan, and we'll have to have an ongoing conversation about this, is I've been keeping up with the news recently, okay? And Kanye West is a crazy motherfucker, okay?
That is an insult to the crazy motherfucker community.
I think you're right. The thing about it is, right, I'm of the demographic where, like, I literally grew up listening to Kanye, knowing other friends who went to Kanye. You know, Kanye was, like, really popping off when I was, like, in high school, middle school, around that time. And so it's especially weird for me. I get it for people who never cared about him and just know him as a celebrity. It's weird for me, okay? Every single person has been like, okay, I'm going to get this guy on my show and we're going to figure out the real story. And it's this constant, never ending, like, oh my God, wow, he really is that worse. Well, gee, let's get him on my show and see what happens next. It was like Tucker Carlson, then Piers Morgan and Tim Pool. Like, and now he went to dinner with Trump. Like, it's crazy.
Did you see the clip of him with Alex Jones?
Yes. Okay. So that, well, I was going to get to that, right? Yeah. I think if you get to InfoWars, okay, if, pardon me for raising my voice, but that's rock bottom, okay? I've been on other people's shows, and you know, they've all varied in popularity, but I've never been asked to be on InfoWars, and I hope I never will, because I think that means that's it, right? Like, I'm done.
If I were asked to be on InfoWars, I would be seriously, like, reconsidering my life choices.
You know, I think I would do it just because I would try to do something crazy to get people's attention. But besides that, I don't know. Like, he definitely wouldn't be on my show. I'll say that much.
No, absolutely not. For sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so what we're talking about here, in case you guys aren't familiar, is that Mr. Ye, I shouldn't say Kanye anymore because he does go by Ye, went on Alex Jones's show InfoWars. And by the way, if you're surprised by that, yes, Alex Jones has still been doing his show, hasn't stopped doing his show since he's been ordered to pay over $1 billion for the fraudulent claims that he made about Sandy Hook, went on his show and basically, like, went full Nazi. I mean, he was already going full Nazi before, but he literally said that he could see the good in Hitler. Like, that is almost a direct quote, which and is
what's amazing about that quote is that in that moment, Alex Jones was the voice of reason.
Dude, he laughed. Okay. That's a stress laugh. I know what that's like. Okay. I know, I've been there. That's a stress laugh. He didn't know how to respond.
There was a point where Ye was talking about how Hitler was a good person. He's like, but we can both agree that, like, while, like, the uniforms were good, we can both agree that Hitler's bad, right? And Ye was like, no, I love Hitler. And Alex Jones was like, whoa.
While this is happening, like, Nick Fuentes has also been in these conversations on these shows, who is, like, a white supremacist, like, and that's not to be, I know people use that term to describe a lot of people, straight up, like, has talked about Jewish people, straight up has talked about how he believes people of other races are inferior in one way or another. That and like, we keep giving this guy chances when it comes to Ye. Like, you know, if I said Jewish people were inferior in some way, I'd lose my job and that's it. This dude says it and he gets invited on every podcast on the planet. So I don't know. I guess you just have to be a billionaire.
I think it's a combination of people wanting to kind of ride the drama train, but also there might be a subset who just can't believe that he really means what he has very explicitly and repeatedly said.
Yes. People are in denial about it, right? Like, straight up, I think Ye is a white supremacist. And yes, he's a black man. And yes, he's also a white supremacist. Like, I just think he says the talking points. He says the things that white supremacists say. So,
and whether it's mental issues or whatever's going on, eventually, if you say the talking points enough, you just are, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, if you walk the walk enough, then you are the thing.
Yeah. I mean, at best, you can say that he's being used by white supremacists to get talking points on, right? Like, if you don't believe that someone of his race could actually be, I understand that. But, like, when you say the things that you say, and when you have the kind of influence, I mean, like, I mean, straight up, like, you know, the other thing too is, you know, people are saying, oh, he is bipolar, and that, like, we should be taking that into consideration, of course. But, you know, I've known a lot of bipolar people in my life who don't say the things that he says, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right. Like, being bipolar doesn't make you spout off Nazi propaganda.
It's wild. It's wild. Like, you know, people always say, oh, we always call everybody Nazis and stuff, or people in our, you know, world say that. But it's like, what do you do when you say that you think there's good in Hitler? I don't know. Like,
right. Like, yes, people do throw that label around too quickly. But my guy literally posted a swastika on his Twitter page.
Yeah, that was the
ironically
thing.
Don't know what else to say about it.
So here's the thing too, right? Before Elon Musk took over Twitter, he did get banned. It was like a day or two before. And of course, Elon Musk has been reinstating people on Twitter. And he got banned. Free speech, right? Yeah, free speech. And then this guy posted a swastika within the Star of David on his Twitter last night. And now he's banned again. He got banned twice, like, around the same couple of weeks. And he also posted a not flattering picture of Elon, which is like, dude, that guy helped you get your account back. What's up with that?
That's where he really messed up.
I know. I think that's what it is too, right? It's like you can't piss off the big boss. But anyway, yeah. Just the reason why I bring this up, okay? And Jordan, I want to hear your thoughts on this, is because I you know, in one way you could say this is just celebrity gossip, right? This is just some celebrity saying some crazy thing. You know, it tends to happen. But Kanye West is not only, well, was a billionaire. I don't know if he's still a billionaire. I think he's lost some money since all this started, but has an incredible influence. One of the most influential rappers of all time, period, as a music artist, like incredibly influential in the fashion world, has a huge platform. And I can't count how many people I've seen still defending this guy, still saying that, oh, wait, we still need to hear him out. He's preaching a message of love, you know, like it's that kind of influence turns people to specific beliefs, turns people to specific ideologies. And this whole like absolutist free speech thing, I used to be that person. I used to be the one to say, oh, you should be able to say whatever you want with whatever. But like, I understand now that there is consequences, right? And I don't know. I don't feel good about having a guy just being on every single show saying stuff like this, right? I mean, what do you think, Jordan?
I agree. What the harm that you're seeing, it's not just like there was some drama between two stars having a breakup or something. You're seeing live the Overton window, which is the window of things that are acceptable to talk about, widening because you're seeing other people who are not Ye, who are like, well, maybe he has kind of a point. Maybe we can see some. And so you're seeing this kind of these kind of talking points spreading beyond his own platform.
Yeah.
And so that's really the problem. While in terms of free speech, it's one thing for the government not to be able to regulate what you can do, but we can regulate it as just people, right? Yeah. We don't have to accept this kind of these kind of talking points in our public square because it belongs to us, belongs to all of them. And so we should be able to police what is allowed. And there's a conversation to be had over what kind of things you should bring up and air and discuss and things that maybe you shouldn't. I don't know where that line is, but I do know Nazis are way on the other side of it.
So. Yeah, it's kind of like, and you know, it's more than just, oh, you could have a bad take. It is literally people have been harmed with this. I believe the National Homeland Security put a statement out this week saying that there is an elevated risk for minority communities within the next couple of months. And they're talking specifically about LGBT people and they're talking about Jewish people because LGBT people have also been in the news recently for stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's a real domestic threat to people. And I don't want to live in a world where there are domestic threats to the people that I love just because they are the way that they are. Side note, Kanye also said Hitler invented the microphone in the highway. Did you catch that part? That was another.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was part of his little tidbit on why he should see the good in Hitler is because he invented the microphone and the highway. So that's, you know, something to be thankful for.
If a guy volunteers at a soup kitchen during like every day of the week, but on the weekend he tortures puppies, not a good guy. I don't need to talk about the soup kitchen part.
You're right. You're 100% right. I think we're past the discourse of, oh, maybe there's some good in this Hitler guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we need to go there anymore. Like,
we had that discussion about, 80 years ago?
Yeah. It didn't end well. But anyway. Yeah, so that's what's been on my mind. And I've been a little, I've been in a negative headspace about it because I just feel like I'm this tiny voice in a sea of misinformation and I don't know what to do about it. But thankfully, I picked up actually not recently, I've had this for a bit. I got this Bob Ross positive energy drink. So you know what? I'm going to crack open this tonight, Jordan, so I can feel a bit better about myself. And while I'm cracking one open, let's go ahead and get to our patron of the week and talk to, some callers who want to talk to us. You ready to talk to some folks, Jordan?
Let's do it.
All right. That was a good sip there. So today's patron of the week is going to be appearing on screen in just a second. It's Gage. Thank you so much, Gage. And thank you to everybody that donates to our Patreon. If you like this show and you want to support it, you can go to tiny.cc/PatreonTW. And we will always we give every new patron a shout out. If you don't get it the week that you sign up, you might have to wait a few weeks. But we want to, of course, thank everybody that donates on that Patreon. Just as a reminder, I do not receive any money from that Patreon, nor do any of the volunteers that work on this show. That goes towards the Atheist Community of Austin to help make shows like this one even better and do all kinds of stuff. So thank you to everybody who donates on there. And with that done, I think we should talk to some folks. You ready, Jordan?
Yep, let's talk to somebody.
All right, let's do it. We got Emmanuel, who is calling in from Texas. Emmanuel, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's going on?
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Emmanuel. How can we help you?
Okay, I have a couple of questions and a couple of claims.
Okay.
Can I start with the questions first?
A question? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my question is for Jordan, and it says that he's a theologian. Can I know what kind of Christianity he used to follow?
I'm sorry if I was unclear. I'm not the theologian. My friend, the friend that I run my podcast with, my YouTube channel with, he was a theologian. He finished seminary and right at the end of it realized, I don't believe this. And so he became an atheist, but he did finish seminary.
Okay. Were you involved in Christianity?
Yes, I was a Christian I was raised in the Christian tradition and I was a Christian into my early 20s.
Okay. Can I know what kind of Christian were you?
Sure. At the time, I would have called myself Protestant non-denominational. My churches tended to fall on the kind of Calvinistic side of things. So I tended to gravitate towards Baptist churches. So I'm not sure I would have called myself a Baptist, but that kind of umbrella is where I was.
Okay. By the way, what made you not believe in Christianity anymore?
That's a great question. So, like I said, I was a young earth creationist. And after I, you know, had lived in that my entire life, I was talking about it with a coworker of mine. And I was kind of like bringing up things that I had questions about. And he handed me a book, The Language of God by Francis Collins. And I read that book and it had answers to a lot of things I was told there were no answers to. And it was very troubling to me. But I eventually decided that if I was right, that the evidence would support that. The truth would support reality. And so I wanted to know what the truth was. And so I decided that I was going to follow the evidence wherever it led, and eventually led me away from theism.
Okay. So my claim is first of all, let's define what evidence is. What do you think is a valid evidence? Or what could we say this is an evidence to this thing?
Well, I think that's, if I might butt in here, I think that's contextual, right? So like, there's going to be different standards of evidence for different kinds of claims. If you were to tell me, oh, I got a coffee at Starbucks today, you might not even have to show me anything. I might just believe you just because that's pretty small. I mean, you could show me a receipt for that, right? You could get a statement from somebody that was at the Starbucks and said, yeah, Emmanuel was there today. So that's pretty trivial. But if we're talking about, for example, saying that there is an invisible God of the universe that watches our every move and makes judgments about us and controls our destinies or something, like that's kind of a bigger deal. Or even if we're talking about a historical narrative, right? If we're saying there was a guy named Jesus who lived in the Middle East and did some miracles, like that's also kind of a big deal, because as far as we know, we've never observed anybody to do any miracles. So it's contextual. It depends on what we're looking at, is what I would say. But
okay. So let me make my case. So my case is, you know, first of all, I like to say, you know, my faith is not, you know, dependent on, you know, experiences. So mm-hmm. I don't rely on human wisdom, or, you know, I don't believe in human wisdom. I believe in the word of God. But I could say that there have been some experiences that I've had that I think is kind of like evidential to me, or I've got like a confirmation that happened, okay, you know, in different times.
Sure.
You know, closer to my friends, I was talking about this on Atheist show. I called into a show and talked with Aaron and I don't remember his name, but it was like on the line. I think it was Jimmy Snow. Okay. And we were talking about this, and, you know, I was like teaching from, you know, Acts chapter 2. And when as I was preaching and I started, you know, laying hands, you know, one of my friends, you know, he got filled, you know, with the Holy Ghost. And he told me that he saw the Spirit of God, or he saw the Lord a month after that. Not just that, even there were like a couple of times where people had like experiences. Like one of the times that I remember, it was kind of like recently before I came to the United States. So I'm not American. So one thing I just would like to say is, you know, since I started, you know, seeing atheist shows, it really helped me out, because I start questioning. And, you know, the Bible that I used to read was Amharic, which is my native language. So now I started reading, you know, the New Testament in English, and it has helped me to believe more. now I know what I believe more before I start watching the Atheist Experience. And it has helped me, because the more I question things, the more faith I get. Because
so
I
it sounds
believe
like
read the scripture.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, Emmanuel. I just I want to like kind of drive a point here, or not drive a point. I want to like continue our conversation, because I think it's interesting. You brought up the fact that you saw what you allegedly saw miracles happen, and it sounded like those miracles, along with being able to read an English version of the Bible, kind of strengthened your belief. Am I summarizing that correctly?
No. That's not what I said. What I said was I've read scripture before, like New Testament, Old Testament, but since I see Atheist Experience is not my native language. It's English. Yeah. So English is my second language. So the things that they quote, especially, you know, I used to watch Matt Dillahunty, and he used to do like slavery criticism, where he quotes the New Testament that specifically says, slaves, obey your masters. So in order to know what it's saying in English Bible, I had to read the entire New Testament again and again.
Yeah.
So I've read it more and more, and the more that I read, the more I get, you know, my ideas. So there were like different times where I got confirmation. For example, one time I was like teaching about, you know, how Apostle Paul converted to, you know, Christianity, and people were like being filled with the Holy Ghost, and they started speaking in tongues, you know, devils were being casted out. And I've seen, you know, the power of God in a very incredible way. But I'm not saying, mind you, I'm not saying that my faith or belief is dependent on my experience, because experiences are like human wisdom. And scripture says don't rely on human wisdom or your mind.
Okay. Well, if I may, what is your faith dependent on then? And then I talk too much.
The scripture.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask. So.
Okay. So the scripture. So you're reading the scripture, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Emmanuel, but you are a human, right? Like you're a human reading the book.
Yeah.
Okay. So isn't that a human interpretation on some level? Yeah, like you can't really take the human out of that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Still, we get things wrong, but, you know, still I might be wrong, but I know that the apostles, you know, of Jesus Christ were really sent by God. I couldn't doubt that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that is very obvious, I think.
So why couldn't you doubt that? You say you read the Bible and you trust that these things are true. What is it that is the foundation of that belief, that what you're reading is factually accurate?
Okay, so I have two Christianity backgrounds, I would like to say. So, you know, my father's version of Christianity.
Sorry, is this relevant to, I don't mean to cut you off, but is it relevant to Jordan's question?
Yeah.
Because...
Okay.
If you know, we want to be able to have a conversation, right?
Okay. So to answer directly, I think his question is, why wouldn't you have like a second thought about, you know, what the apostles have written years before? And I would say there are two things.
Okay.
Maybe I'm correct on the first one. The first one will be, there's a historical, undeniable evidence that the apostles died a very horrific death. That is like very undeniable. So the first century Christians during the time of Nero undeniably died a very brutal death.
Okay.
And so it seems to me that they were really convinced that Jesus was Christ. That's like very undeniable.
Go ahead, Jordan, because I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the accounts we get of early first century Christian martyrdom, I think specifically to Nero, come from Josephus, right? Where he's talking about how Nero persecuted the Christians, but probably Christians. And do you know the reasons why they were persecuted?
Yes.
So the reason, and tell me if you disagree, but the reason why Nero persecuted the Christians was because he needed someone to pin the blame on. And people didn't like Christians very much. And so specific to Nero, it wasn't that. It was, you believe in Jesus, you believe in this resurrection, and therefore I'm going to burn you. It's, oh man, I'm in political trouble. People are really mad at me. I know, I'll blame a bunch of a minority that people don't like, you know, like, because that's never happened before in history. And so he, as the Romans did, they were extremely brutal to the Christians. But in the case of Nero, it wasn't because of the resurrection or anything like that. It's not like they could have recanted and gotten away, gotten out of it. So I'm not sure how Nero's persecution supports your point. But even beyond that, people die for things that they're incorrect about all the time, right? So isn't it at least as possible that they're just honestly mistaken?
Yeah. There's like a possibility. I'm seeing what you're saying right now. I think it kind of you make a very good point. I think it makes a lot of sense. So you're saying that, you know, brutal death can't be like an evidence where we can say it's valid. They could still be erroneous, and they could still die for the wrong thing. I think that's
absolutely
the point. Sure.
Hey, you know how many, correct? I mean,
yeah,
absolutely. Muslims, how many Muslims have died for their belief, right? I mean, if not as many as Christians, it's up there, right? I mean, you can do the same thing with smaller belief systems, but yeah, it's not uncommon to find people dying for their beliefs, but that it doesn't actually relate to the truthiness of the belief, to put it one way, right? They're kind of different things.
Yes.
You could at least say it's a show of their commitment, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're committed to the truth or that they're committed. They died because of the belief system. Joseph Smith was, you know, famously gunned down, right? The founder of Mormonism doesn't mean Mormonism is true. So,
yeah.
Yes.
So with that being said, Emmanuel, does this give you any pause? You know, does this, what we're saying, make sense?
Yeah. It makes total sense. And, you know, I absolutely agree. What you're saying is it makes a total sense. So I won't debate on that. I wouldn't stay for that long. And so I want to like answer a question because you asked me two things and I don't think I answered the other one. So you're saying that when you read scripture, you're obviously a human and you're obviously believing things that are on your mind. Right.
Well, I mean, when I said that earlier, right, you were saying that you don't believe in human wisdom. You only believe in sort of a divine wisdom, right? Something that comes from God. And I think that's a claim that's not unique to Christians, right? I think that's a claim that can be said amongst a lot of religious traditions. And whether or not you believe, perhaps you have a belief that the word is divinely inspired or not. You certainly know that there's, I mean, you've read multiple translations of the Bible. You know that man's hand is at least involved in the process, if not the straight up author. But even beyond that fact, right? I can read the Bible and I can misunderstand something because I don't have absolute knowledge of the Levant culture 2000 years ago, right? But like inevitably, like this happens all the time, right? Like people read the Bible and they misconstrue it because they don't have a context, right? So, you know, that being said, are you absolutely certain that you have divine direct knowledge, or could it be possible that there's something else in there too?
No. I'm pretty sure that I have misinterpretations or I have, you know, wrong beliefs. Okay. You know, one thing I could say, what I said was the apostles of the New Testament, or, you know, specifically the first century New Testament, I am 100% sure and 100% believe that they were sent by God. And I have a very good reason for that.
Okay.
First of all, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's that reason? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The other reason is like their beliefs were very unorthodox. Mind you here, we're not talking about, you know, if it was 21st century, we know a lot of cults and a lot of unorthodox beliefs, which are kind of like strange to the society.
Absolutely.
But in the first century Jews, they were really sincere about the law of God. So they could literally stone you to death if you blaspheme God in any way. And to claim that this Jesus was Lord was extremely, extremely risky to their lives.
Yes.
And still, I'm going to go back on, like, for example, Paul, he was a Hebrew. He was, you know, what we consider a biblical scholar. And there is no way he would like abandon his Jewish faith and convert to Christianity if there is no Christ in that religion. It's just like it's no way possible.
So a few things on that. I don't know for sure that Paul thought he was converting from anything. So in Paul's mind, Jesus was the fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. But beyond that, if you're talking about these radical ideas, you have to understand the first century context and the ideas of the early Christians weren't as radical as I think you might think they are. It was very common in the first century for Jews to have this apocalyptic feeling. The world was dominated by evil powers, and God was going to come back soon to institute the kingdom of God. And a figure that would be a part of that would be the Messiah, who would be a great warrior or priest or something, right? And that would lead to a resurrection of the dead. These are Jewish ideas held by the Pharisees, among others. And so the Christians come along, and they are convinced, for whatever reason, that Jesus is the Messiah. And from there, it's not hard to see how they could get to where they got, where Jesus died, and he's bringing in this resurrection that they expected. And so I don't think it's true that this is like a huge radical departure from everything that had happened before, such that they couldn't have possibly gotten there unless Jesus was, in fact, the pre-existent Son of God. You know, it seems like they were working with the materials they already had.
Okay, but here's the thing. I agree with you that they were expecting a Messiah before, but they have a further theology. Like, Paul have a different further theology. He's not just saying, mm-hmm. you know, this Jesus is Christ or this Jesus is Messiah. He literally said, and when he was writing letters for Corinthians, Romans, that he was God incarnate.
Yeah.
And you can't really, that idea was not in the Old Testament. It never appears in any kind of like Hebrew text. I actually have like studied, you know, there are like texts where you could give, you know, our language, you know, it's completely changing. So sometimes there might be things that people mistranslate or because of, you know, like mm-hmm. translational problems. Yes. And I think we have like enough technology. You could convert to the old text and it will show you the old text and what it means in our translations. So there is no idea.
Can I interrupt you there, Emmanuel?
Where God was a man. Yeah.
Different things there. One, I think you'd be surprised about the oldest manuscript text that we have. The oldest ones that we have for the Gospel of John, for example, are still over, many years after the fact. And even then, the copies that we do have aren't complete copies. They're sometimes credit card sized parchments of different texts. More complete texts can be hundreds of years after the fact. But that's almost besides the point, because what I think I'm hearing you say is almost a reconstruction of your previous argument, which is this the idea that, well, they were really sincere about their beliefs, and that has to speak to the truth of it. And the fact is, I mean, according to the narrative, like Jesus did die for his belief. So, you know, like that, I mean, probably happened. I think there was a guy named Jesus. He probably did die. But again, I point to this idea, you know, Muhammad also had differing ideas of theology, pretty radical ones that he also got in trouble for. And there was bloodshed spilled for that. So I don't think that you put any truth to the word of Muhammad. At least you haven't expressed that so far. And as Jordan pointed out earlier, Joseph Smith also had different ideas of theology that he also got into violent trouble with. And so like we see this happen in history. In other words, I don't think what happened with the account of Jesus was necessarily exclusive. In the grand scheme of things, it seems to be a pattern of people having a radical belief and being persecuted for that. I don't think Jesus invented that idea, you know? And so it doesn't correlate to the truth value of the claims. You know, there can be really sincere believers in something, but again, it just doesn't make it true, right? Like that by itself is anecdotal.
Yeah, it doesn't make it true. But let me ask you this. You said, you know, the prophet of the you know, that invented Islam that we know mm-hmm. now, or, you know, Joseph Smith, the founder, father of Mormonism.
Yeah.
Do any of those claim that they have resurrected?
But why does that make it more true?
Well, like, what's their evidence? Because Christianity is an extreme, never invented claim, because there's no plagiarism in Christianity.
Well, one, I don't, sorry, Jordan, and I'll let you speak after this. One, I don't think Christianity is exclusively makes resurrection claims. I don't think that's true. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head if there's any for the Mormon religion. I certainly know that, you know, like Muhammad and him, some of his writings, there is debate about whether there's like bodily resurrections and stuff or not. But, you know, the point is, right, like even then, let's say that Jesus and what he preached was the only religion in history to talk about like resurrection. Let's say that that's true. Let's say that I give you that. How does that make the belief more true? Just because it's a radical idea doesn't mean it's true. I might be the first person to say the universe was invented invented by USB-C chargers or something. That's a crazy idea. And I don't think anybody's made a religion around that, but that doesn't make it true, right? Like, just because it's different doesn't say anything about its validity.
Yeah. It doesn't make it true. Okay, I understand. What you're saying is just because they make extreme claim that is exclusive to that faith doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And I think I know the answer. I mean, I think I agree with, you know, your answer. So, but, you know, the other thing is you have to understand there that there were times where I never believed in Christianity. There were times where I was like very skeptical of Christianity, even though I was raised in a Christian household where I grew up, you know, around Christians. Even, you know, Christianity is not, you know, the majority one in my home country. So, you know, my country, because there are different denominations and, you know, my denomination is very minority. So I wanted to say that there are things that hold me out. There are like principles that I find in Christianity that I will never find in different religions. I can give
maybe
you an example.
Maybe that's true.
But you can
Maybe that's true. Yeah. But like, it sounds like you're even making the argument that like, look, I believe it. So therefore there must be some truth to it. Like that kind of sounds like what you're saying right now. But anyway, Jordan, go ahead.
Well, it sounds like that story that these beliefs give you some, you know, feeling that helps you out in your life and you were persuaded from a position of skepticism. That's something that we could find people who had that exact story for any tradition. There are people who went from Christianity to Islam, who went from Islam to atheism, who went from atheism to Buddhism. Pick two worldviews or two religions or whatever, and you can find people who move from one to the other, and they'll tell you that it was a deeply impactful experience. They can share their testimony. They can tell them how to help them. And so, I mean, I'm not doubting that these people have these experiences, of course. I'm happy to believe you that you had this experience, and I'm glad it's helped. But if all of these people have a very similar experience, but the things that they're having the experience about are mutually exclusive, they can't all possibly be true, then why should your experiences be evidence of the truth of your belief?
Oh, by the way, I'm not saying my experience is somewhat convincing to others. Obviously, it's not. You know, people could think that, you know, I'm being deluded or whatever. You know, I was like being indoctrinated. But what I'm saying is I actually escaped indoctrination and I found with myself that this Christianity or this form of faith is the answer to all of my problems. Because I was dealing with, for example, let me give you an example. So I was dealing with guilt during my teenage years, and I never had, you know, the hope to get out of that guilt. So that guilt was like circulating on my mind. And, you know, in Christianity, we believe that, you know, Jesus Christ's death and resurrection is for our righteousness of sin, for us to become righteous out of, you know, the sins that we commit. So it was like a light that got to me. I remember when I was like 14 or 15, I was like 15 and I was listening to a radio. And that I think that was like my turning point where I was listening to a radio. And one woman was talking about if we come back to God, our guiltiness or our guilt consciousness will be, you know, taken out of the way. And if we accept Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, that's the answer. And when I actually did that, and when I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I was done with guilt consciousness. And that's actually a very good confirmation or evidence, because the scripture says that if anyone in Christ, there's no condemnation.
Emmanuel, do you think it's possible that hypothetically somebody could convert to a religion and find fulfillment in that, right? It doesn't have to be Christianity. Do you think it's possible that somebody could convert to Buddhism or could convert to Islam and find personal fulfillment? Okay, so if that's a possibility, why would that, again, we go back to this. Jordan and I are interested in what's true, right? We want to believe in true things. What does that have to do with the truthiness of that claim? Because I can find personal fulfillment in a lot of things that don't actually relate to reality at all, right? So again, like, if other people can have a very similar experience to you, what makes your experience exclusive in any way?
And to, it's not that necessarily that we're saying that your experience should be convincing to us or isn't.
Right.
What I'm talking about, what we're talking about is, shouldn't you be skeptical of your own experience? Not that it happened, but that it's leading you to truth, since other people have very similar stories but are led in the opposite direction. Doesn't that indicate that this isn't a good mechanism to get to truth?
I don't think I have a good argument to Christianity. I actually called in because I wanted you guys to actually answer my question, what you guys actually think evidence is. Because it seems to me that if something is not empirically evident, or if something is not exclusively, you know, superior to other beliefs, that means that belief is not true. It seems like you're saying that. I'm not sure if I'm putting words in your mouth.
Well, Emmanuel, you know, I don't know if I strictly follow the idea that empirical truths are the only truths that exist. That's a very popular idea, but I don't even think we have to go that far. I think what we brought up before is this idea that I get calls every week, Emmanuel, from people who believe in God. I get calls from people who believe in ghosts. I get calls from people who believe in aliens. I get calls from people who believe in a lot of different things, most of which are contradictory. And one time, Emmanuel, I had somebody call and say they were bug people on Mars. And in that same show, somebody said that space wasn't real. Okay, so like these two people don't believe in the same things. We have to find a way to figure out what's true and not true, right? And this idea about Jesus, that's a big deal, right? Like Christians say, well, isn't this a big deal if this was true? Yes, I agree. It's a big deal if the claims that Christianity makes are true. So we have to raise the bar a bit, right? We can't just have a he said, she said conversation, right? I mean, like, I think you would agree with that.
I would agree with that. I understand your point here, but you never actually answer my question. What do you guys actually think?
Again, it's contextual. Depends on the claim.
Let me take a stab at it. So when I'm talking about evidence, what I'm talking about is an observation or argument or something like that that makes one claim more likely than other competing claims.
Yeah.
So claim A, worldview A is more likely given evidence E than worldview B is, if that makes sense. So you saying I had this experience that's very fulfilling, like that is evidence for Christianity, but I have equal evidence for other competing worldviews. And so your testimony doesn't seem like it raises the likelihood of Christianity being true relative to any other claim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did that answer the question, Emmanuel?
You know, that answers the question. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Hello? Well, you know, Emmanuel, yeah, we're still here. We've been calling to you for about 30 minutes. Usually I don't talk to callers for this long.
Okay.
But you know, I really enjoyed our conversation so far, and you had some great questions for us. Okay. And I hope that you thought that our questions were good too. I think we need to kind of wrap things up this time. If you still want to talk to us again, or at least talk to me or one of the other hosts, you can definitely call in a different time. But for now, we're going to go ahead and move on. But I do want to say, Emmanuel, thank you so much for calling in. I will make executive decisions in the middle of the show and be like, you know what, I'm going to let this person talk for longer. And I mostly do that to people who are sincere. And I think Emmanuel is very sincere. That's one of the more sincere calls I've had in a long time. And I quite enjoyed that. What did you think about that conversation, Jordan?
I agree. I really like talking to people who sincerely disagree with me, and people who are willing to have a conversation and take in, you know, opposing points of view. You're the only way you're going to find out you're wrong is by talking to people who disagree with you. And it takes courage to really do that.
I agree. And it takes courage to talk to two people who you don't know over the phone, who have directly opposing viewpoints from you. So props to you for making that call. And just to let folks know, we do have open lines right now. So if you want to call in and talk to us, now's a chance to do it. You can call in at the number at the bottom of the screen there, or you can click the tiny.cc link and come talk to us. I got Jordan here with me, and we're going to get to the promo here now in just a second. So we're going to go ahead and play that for you now. Check it out.
You meet the most interesting, wonderful people doing this kind of work. You really do. I mean, I could be doing a show about accounting, I guess, or something. So glad to be here talking about sex dolls and all kinds of wildness with y'all.
And this one says, ex-Christian Erin is just one ex away from Pornhub. Maybe then she can get out of the garage on those cold nights. Now, first of all, I choose to be in my garage. That is my studio.
They even elected a conservative culture warrior to become the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he's from the Archdiocese of the Military Services. Because there's nothing better than a warrior for Jesus to lead us, right? Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Your God created me to not believe in your God. So your God created me to burn. So your God created me solely for the purpose of being tortured for all of eternity. Yes or no?
Correct. I think you have a correct.
Cool. Disagree. Your God can eat my shorts.
You're avoiding the point because you don't want to address the Bible and its views on genocide. So instead you decide to bring trans people into this. Do you really think that trans people are on par with the evil of genociding a population?
It says, Dan smells, John probably smells, in parentheses, I have no idea. MD Aware is unaware that he smells. Aaron used to smell, but only after being shamed into bathing, which she does reluctantly.
Hey!
And we are back. Just a reminder, if you missed last week's show, you should definitely look at that one. It's different from the other ones. We read some of our hater comments for what we called Hates Giving, Hater, Thankful for Our Haters. I don't remember what we called it. We called it something funny. So you should definitely check that out if you haven't already. And we also, again, have some open lines. We'd love to talk to more of you folks. Before we get to our next caller, though, I want to let you guys know about some more ways you can support the show. I already mentioned one of them, which is donating on Patreon, tiny.cc/patreon.tw. You can get your name shout out on that. You can also support the show by becoming a member. If you do become a member, you get emojis in the chat. Your name gets highlighted in the chat. And you'll be immune to the chat timeouts. And you can do that for as little as 99 cents per month. That's like one app in the app store a month, which I think is a pretty cool way to show your appreciation. So thank you to everybody that is a member and contributes that way. But even if you don't feel like giving us any money, if you just want to consume our content and not give back, well, I still got a way you can help us out. If you shop on Amazon, you can support the ACA at no additional cost to you. You just have to visit tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA, and you can designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity. And Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA. So if you want Amazon to give us money, that's a way to do it. I don't know if that's explicitly what happens, but it's kind of what happens. So, you know, I suggest looking into that. Jordan's laughing at it, but you know, it's true, right?
Get some of that Jeff Bezos money.
Get some of that Jeff Bezos money, baby. Come on. He don't need it, you know? But anyway, we have another person that wants to talk to us. We're going to go ahead and get them on. This is Jamie calling in from Texas. Jamie, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
Thank you once again for taking my calls. And that last call, that whole exchange, made me think about one of the responses we atheists give when someone says, well, what evidence would convince you of the existence of a God?
Yeah.
And we say, well, I don't know, but God should. And that sounds good and it does make sense, but I'm thinking, is that actually a cop-out? Because every time I think about it, like, I honestly don't know. Like, what would convince me? Is there any way we can expound on that, or is there a better way to respond to that? That argument point?
I have thoughts about this. And Jordan, I'm interested in hearing your thoughts. But, like, I hear other atheists, I hear other show hosts say that. And it's not my favorite response, because it does sound kind of like moving the goalposts a little bit. It's kind of like you're really not setting a standard. And I don't think that's really fair, because I set standards for other things I believe in. Why shouldn't this be one? And I think it's because the God claim itself, if we're just talking about God claims, not even talking about Christianity, right? That can be nebulous. It's one of the reasons why I'm very adamant about my use of describing myself as an atheist. Right. The atheist position is that I can't say whether God exists or not until I even know what a God is. Because every time we talk about this, it's always going to be something different, right? One person's God is another person's not God, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of different every time you talk about it. So, you know, I prefer taking it one claim at a time. If people want to espouse a specific God claim, there might be specific parameters we can look at for that. But Jordan, what are your thoughts?
I agree that it seems like I don't know that if I said those exact words, but it's basically a way to invoke the divine hiddenness argument as a way to like parry the question you're being asked. And so for me, the way I usually answer that question is I need some kind of evidence, by which I mean an observation, an argument, something that makes the existence of God the most parsimonious and plausible explanation for the world I see. That's what I need. Now, what exact form that's going to take, I don't know, because like you said, the concept of God is nebulous and ill-defined, and every person you talk to is going to have a different idea of what they mean when they say God. So it's hard for me to say this one thing, but something in that class of thing would do it for me.
Sure, sure. Jamie, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'd even broaden it to not just God, but a supernatural cause. Because, I mean, and I've called in many times, and I've explained that one of my major sort of discussion partners when it comes to spirituality is my mother, and she's a spiritualist, and she has quite pantheistic beliefs. So not even a God as in a singular, self-aware, maximally powerful agent, but any supernatural explanation to phenomena. Like what evidence would convince you that the supernatural is real? And we can broaden it, like ghosts or cryptids or whatever, any supernatural phenomena. And I can never truly give a concrete answer, and I desperately want to. I'd like to say, like, if you showed me this or this or this, I would be swayed, or at least I would be on my way to being swayed. But as you said, these claims are so nebulous. I'd have to basically pin them down and try and very, very hard to tailor my response to their particular belief or subset of beliefs.
Yeah.
Which is difficult.
Well, it is difficult, but you mentioned, I think there are still even some distinctions you can make even that, like, for example, like people who believe in ghosts, like tend to like ardent ghost believers tend to believe that there at least is a process by which ghosts are made. Like presumably the person has to die in order to be a ghost. Okay. That's a mechanical process, right? Like that's a causal process right there. So there at least you can find at least somewhere in the realm of empiricism, some sort of correlation there that can be looked at. Same thing with like Bigfoot, for example. As far as I know, Bigfoot would be a completely natural phenomenon, right? It would be just as like observable as a gorilla in the zoo, right? Like that's just a beast. That's just a thing that's out there. And with the God claims, I think those are particularly interesting, especially in regards to Christianity, because like the book, at least the Gospels, as they are purported to be, are supposed to be recorded events of things that Jesus did, and like people witness those things. So like, it's not like they're completely unobservable. If a person can watch something happen, that is a kind of observation. Like, yeah, we tend to put anecdotes as like the lowest form of that, but it is an observation. It's not completely outside of the realm of human experience. So like, I still think that there are ways that you can sort of, if you really think about it, find some kind of metric in order to observe phenomena. But it might be more complicated. Like for example, psychology and sociology often talk about sometimes very broad things that we don't have exact mechanisms for, but we can still sort of test bits and pieces of as we grow more knowledge of. And maybe if supernatural stuff existed, it might be the same way. I don't know. What do you think, Jordan? Oh yeah, Jamie.
So after you, Jordan. After you.
Yeah. Well, we'll get Jordan back with us in just a second. Go ahead, Jamie.
Okay. Well, I was about to say in the process of this conversation, the best thing I can come up with is like, okay, just give me something that's either on demand repeatable or has predictive power or has reliable predictive power. Like a model that predicts what's going to happen given a certain set of parameters. Like if I kill this bird in the next 60 seconds, it will be resurrected by this power. And if I do it every time and the bird comes back to life, then I'm going to start believing. Or something that has predictive power, like I ask even something simple, like what is the exact temperature of tomorrow exactly throughout the whole day? Oh, yeah, and this is the temperature curve, and it's exact. Cool, that's way beyond the predictive power of anything science has.
Yeah.
I kind of start believing that, where it's something beyond our current ability. But even at that, it's like, well, that's maybe it's the whole Arthur C. Clarke, advanced technology indistinguishable from magic.
That's right.
But until I can prove that it's not magic, again, that's the whole falsifiability as well.
It is.
It's a woolly thing.
You know, like philosophy, first of all, the philosophy of science is really interesting to look at, right? Because I think baby atheists, get this idea in their head that, oh, we can just measure everything through science and all knowledge can come through science. And that's like the best. I believe it's the most consistent way to look at something. Sure. And perhaps you could even claim it's the most reliable. I think that there's an argument for that. But it's up to this point, it's not everything. At least our current methodologies can't give us everything that we need to know. And science is a social enterprise, by the way. I'm not an expert in aerodynamics. I can't tell you exactly how a jet plane flies. I just know. I mean, I can tell you the basics, but I know that there are people who have figured that out. And they've shown that they figured it out because that stuff is made. We can't all be domain experts at everything, right? And so we're simply, if God was real, quite frankly, I don't know if we'd even be domain experts in figuring out how that would even work or how that would even function. Because, I mean, God tends to work by some rules, right? Like there seems to be some causal things. I don't know if you're taking the Bible literally in some accounts. So I don't know. It is very bizarre and it's hard to pin down. But all you have to do is really start with, okay, well, let's look at one miracle. Let's look at that. Has anybody regrown their arm from, you know, getting it cut off? No? Well, I don't know. That's a good one for me. Anyway, Jordan, we got you back. Did you have any thoughts?
No, I think you're right to focus, to talk about falsification. You can kind of help them. That can be a way to have the other person kind of walk you through what they think and see what sort of portions of their claim you could test. Even if you're not testing it empirically, you could test it in other ways. But
anyway, Jamie, I think that's all the time we got for this call, because I want to make sure we get some other calls in tonight. But thanks so much for calling in. Absolutely. Jamie, you've been I think our number one repeat caller for this show this year.
There's some people who don't like that. They say they're sick of the sound of my voice. So to those people, nah.
I like that. Thanks, Jamie, for calling in. You know, the thing is, folks, if you want other voices to call into the show, I mean, you guys can do it too. I'd love to hear from people we haven't talked to before, but you know, Jamie likes the show. He's come in person. He's a cool guy. I've met him. So, you know, we are happy to have lots of different people call in. Before we get to the next caller, though, I got to let you guys know about a few more things. One thing is that we have our Truth Wanted store. It is up and running again, and we are usually feature special limited edition items each month. Now, some of you have said that you kind of missed out on some of the stuff that we offered, especially the shirt that I came up with personally, at least the idea for, which was the Lizard People Are People Too shirt. That's definitely been our most popular shirt all year. What we're doing this month as kind of a Christmas special, you can call it, is we're putting all of our limited edition shirts back in the store. So if there was a design that you saw previously that you missed out on, now's a chance to go look at it. You know, spread the holiday cheer, give somebody a Truth Wanted shirt or, you know, any of our other Truth Wanted merch, and tag me with it on Twitter. And I'd love to see it. So that's something you should definitely take advantage of. One extra thing on that is that we're even going to let you save 10% off if you use the discount code THEVAULT. Okay, that's all one word there, the vault. But this does end at the end of the year. So go ahead and take advantage of that now while you can. And one other thing I want to promote before we get to our next caller is we are doing our in-person shows. So the next in-person show that you can go to is going to be, this has the dates wrong, but I know the dates off the top of my head, at least the script does. On screen, it's fine. Friday, December 16th is going to be the next in-person Truth Wanted. Doors open for that at 6:00. It's completely free. So come join us. And if you see the other ones on screen, we've also got Secular Sexuality, December 15th, and Talk Heathen and Atheist Experience, December 18th. Those are going to be our live shows for this month. So if you're around the Austin area, come check it out. Come to the studio. Information is on our website. So look at that when you can. And Jordan, I think we should talk to at least one more person. Let's see if we can get maybe two in at the end here. So let's get to it, shall we? We've got Will calling in from Washington. Will, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Dan. How you guys doing? I'm a father of a young child, and my ex-wife and I are, you know, we're exes. She's been talking about taking our son to a Sunday school and stuff. And it just sort of got me thinking about sort of what my responsibility is to this, you know, this young person. Like, you know, obviously you got to start with love.
like if he grows, like right now he's two, so I'm trying to get ahead of the ball. If he grows up and he wants to be a believer of some kind, like I'm not going to disown him, right?
Yeah. Real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you. So sorry, Will. Are you on speakerphone right now?
Oh, you know what? I've got you on my like Bluetooth headset here.
Okay.
Just normal.
Yeah, if you could get it on normal without disconnecting the call, that would be awesome, just for our audio quality's sake. Thank you.
How's that better?
That's much better. Thank you, Will. Please go ahead.
Sorry. So my wife's talking about taking our son to Sunday school, and it just it really bothered me, and it just sort of got me onto this kind of thought about like, what is my, I don't know, I never thought about the possibility of raising an atheist or like a theist child, and I was like, you know, if you guys had deconverted, like, what would you have wanted to hear from a parent? Or, you know, if you guys had any thoughts about that. It was just a thought that, you know, kind of came through my head.
So I've got kids too. I have four children, and three of them are from my ex-wife, who's a Christian. So I've had similar issues to what you're going through right now. I think the most important thing that you already hit is to make sure, no matter what choice your child makes, that you love them and support them and encourage them in wherever they are. I think that's the single most important thing you can always do. What I said my goal was for my kids was I wanted to teach them how to think, not what to think. And so I made it very clear that they were free to come to any conclusion they wanted, as long as, you know, it was a good conclusion they had thought about. And that's really where I think the emphasis should go, is you should gently challenge your children to think more, not think what you think, but just be a good rational thinker. You look for evidence, you know, approach things in a rigorous manner. And if you do that, I don't think that, you know, first of all, I don't think that's anything that your ex-wife could legitimately complain about. And also, you'd just be doing your child a service, whether or not they deconvert, even if they end up staying a theist. Surely better that they're a, you know, rational, skeptical theist. But I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Dan.
Well, it's funny because I've been asked this question ever since I started appearing on the show, which I think I was like 22. So I don't have kids. So like, you know, I'm not the best person to ask about this. I will say I have, grown in my 20s and have learned to be a better man in my relationships and figure out what it means to like have a partnership with someone. And I've dated Christians. I've even dated a Christian while I've been running this show. Don't ask me how that worked, but it did. And like, you know, that relationship didn't quite work out. But I don't think it was because of these kinds of beliefs. Honestly, I think it was a different kind of level. You know, like there are people I know in the atheist community who are married to Christians, and who are able to kind of come to compromises and agreements because they still share similar values on things. And so I think this is maybe a question of what kind of values do you share about how you want your kids to be raised and what that means to you. You can't, unfortunately, in a situation like yours, I imagine you're not going to be able to win every battle. But even if you can't, there's still the importance of being in somebody's life and being a figure and being, you know, your responses to things are just as critical to, you know, whether your ex is taking them to Sunday school or bringing them to other things too, because chances are they're probably asking about some of that stuff and you can give your response freely. There's nobody saying that you can't, right? At least it doesn't sound like it from what you're describing. So, you know, ultimately, as much as we hate it sometimes, we have to let kids think for themselves and come to that conclusion. We can't make it happen. We can only be the best examples that we can, and that's all that we can be responsible for, right?
Yeah, no, that absolutely tracks. And I think my biggest thing is, like, you know, if he wants to believe in a God or whatever, like, it makes him feel better at night, you know, like, I don't think it's great. Obviously, I think we're all in agreement, but you know, like,
sure.
I don't think that's like the worst thing in the world, but
yeah,
you know, it just, I'm so worried that like this exposes him to the possibility of like getting into like some of those kind of dark theologies, you know, like,
right,
he's going to be online, you know, before I know it. And that's just a, you know, you guys work on the internet, you know, it's accessible.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's a lot of studies.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I don't know if your kid's Gen Z or Gen Alpha, but you know, they interpret information differently than other generations. They really do. Your kid is probably young enough. I mean, I know he's young enough to have grown up in his entire life with the internet being a thing. You know what I mean? And if he's not online now, he will be in the future. And like they generally have a sense of navigating that differently. Now, I will say this: that doesn't mean they're good at it, because there's a lot of people that
right.
that aren't, but like, they are more open about ideas, I think is the best thing you can possibly say. I think that's fair more than any other generation. They're at least open to talking to other people about stuff. So I know you do have that going for you. But you know, at the end of the day, what they believe right now, I don't know how old they are, but they sound pretty young. It's probably not going to be the same when they grow up, right? I think that's true even for Christians who grew up Christians. How many Christians grew more progressive in their theology as they gotten older, right? So, you know, it does happen. Sure. But I think it's good that you're worried about that, but it's also good to kind of let things go just a little bit, because you're doing your best. It sounds like you're doing your best, right? And being a role model, and that's really the best you can do, I think. But again, I don't have any kids, so who knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
No, I mean, that is pretty much the first thing you start learning as a parent, is that you've got a limited scope of, you know, control over. I mean, and you know, like I was saying, like he's my guy's two right now. So it's mostly like, oh, I should really get onto like thinking about this now before it like blindsides me one day.
Yeah.
Just be prepared to answer questions they have, but answer them lovingly and make sure that they like, and I said it before, but make sure that they understand that even if you disagree with them, that's okay. It's okay to have disagreements. It's okay to disagree with your parents. That's a great lesson that you can teach them in this context. So like, even though it may not be the ideal situation, this could be an opportunity to grow your relationship with your child. That's the direction I would take it.
I feel like that's pretty hopeful outlook on it, and yeah, that's helpful.
Good. I'm glad we could be of service to you, Will. We are gonna go ahead and end this call here. We appreciate it.
You guys are doing great, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Will. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. I'm quite flattered that people think I can give competent advice on how to interact with their children. I'm honestly flattered. I don't know why, but I'm glad that people can trust me enough. Obviously, Jordan, you're a parent, so you know, you've got that experience. But.
Well, the secret is that absolutely none of us know what we're doing. We're all making it up as we go along. So
yeah. So what we're gonna do next is something that's an idea that we've had for a bit. I'm gonna be we've got one other caller on the line, and we are going to take them after the show goes live. So what we've thought about doing, folks, is we want to give you guys more incentive for those of you who already donate on our Patreon to give you even more back. So one idea that we've had is getting some post-show content, stuff that's not going to be in the regular episodes, but that we might put in special episodes that go up. So we're going to do that with this next call. So caller, stay on the line. This isn't going to be live. This is going to be recorded and hopefully uploaded at a future date for patrons. That's not a promise. We're trying this out and we'll see. But that is the plan right now. So we're going to be doing that. Before we do that, though, real quickly, I just want to let you guys know about how you can contact the show. One of the ways of doing that is truth@atheist-community.org. Yes, I read those emails. I read those and also all the other hosts of Truth Wanted. If you want to email the shows generally, you can also do that. It's tv@atheist-community.org, and see what's going on our website at atheist-community.org. Isn't that funny? And one other thing, there's also a Facebook group that's run by fans for fans. So you can go to tiny.cc/fbtwg to interact with other fans. And outro stuff here. I'll go ahead and get into that since we're ending the regular episode. But again, we'll if we do this going forward, we'll always keep the same amount of time. It's always going to be approximately an hour and a half. But this is just something we're going to be trying this time today. First, I want to thank our awesome guest, Jordan, for being on today's show. Jordan, how can people find you?
They can find us on YouTube at Reason to Doubt. You see it right there on the screen. I'm also very active on Twitter. If you're, like I said, we publish, I think we try to hit every Thursday, so you'll see us about 8 o'clock today.
Cool. And also, real quick, don't tune away just yet, because we're going to get to the poll question and see what you guys thought. But before we do that, I have to thank the wonderful, fantastic crew that help make this show happen every single week. There's the crew. They're waving and they're doing a great job. Thank you, crew, for making this show happen. And now let's get to the poll question, okay? So the poll question tonight was Jesus a real person? And we had yes, I'll call with evidence, and no, the mythicist got it right. This surprises me, Jordan. 160 votes, 14% say yes. Jesus was a real person. 86% say no.
I wish I could say I'm surprised, but that fits
well. I'm surprised.
I expected it to be very one-sided.
I didn't expect it to be that many for no. You know, I figured it might be a little contentious. I didn't think it'd be like that. We're in the minority vote here.
Among our atheist compatriots, we are very much in the minority, yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't expect that. I completely thought it would go the other way. I definitely thought there'd be, I thought maybe like a third would say no. So there you have it, folks. That's the result of our poll. And we are going to go ahead and go and take this one last caller after the end of the live show. So we'll go ahead and sign off with you guys for now and play our outro caller. Stay on the line and we'll get to you in just a second. Remember, folks, to always keep wanting the truth. I'm Objectively Dan, and I'll see you next time.
Watch The Nonprofits and join the hosts in the live chat Sundays at 3 p.m. Central between The Atheist Experience and Talk Heathen. Visit tiny.cc/ytnp.